In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess
that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have done undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and renew us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, for the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Let us pray. O God, our true life, to serve you is freedom and to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
Our first reading this morning is from Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult, God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. A reading from Colossians. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O
May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you may know that the Feast of Christ the King was instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1925. This was a response to the growing nationalism and secularism of that time. So almost 100 years later, I think we could argue that we share some of those same concerns, not only in our own country, but throughout the world. And as Christians, we must always remember that Christ is King over all creation. Politicians and governments come and go. Empires rise and fall. But the reign of Christ is forever. It reminds me of the words of Psalm 146. "Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that day, their plans perish." Which brings us to what we mean when we say Christ is our King. Kings and rulers of the world not only have power and authority, but they operate in ways that doesn't tend to be as benevolent as we would hope. Often we will recall that when Jesus is on the scene in the Gospels, he did not come and behave in a way that some were expecting a Messiah to behave. They were looking for a political revolutionary warrior. However, I'm not sure that on some level that has really gone away. The image of Christ crucified on the cross, the idea of a crucified God, is still an image and concept that those inside the church, not just outside the church, find troubling and struggle with. On the feast of Christ the King, our gospel lesson is from Luke, with Jesus being crucified on the cross. It's an image of Jesus dying on the cross that we get when we reflect on Jesus being our King. And this is most certainly in contrast to our understanding of a king and a ruler in the world that has any kind of authority. This week I shared with you an image of Jesus that people prefer. It's not hard to find some of these toxic masculine images of Jesus that make Jesus look more like Rambo or John Wayne than it does just accurately portraying him as Christ crucified. The desire to have a warrior, ensuring that we have power and privilege, that's more appealing than the suffering servant who commands us to love one another. I heard Professor Galloway this week. He's a business professor. He was commenting on Elon Musk, but he said this about society as a whole. I think it speaks to really what we're drawn to as people. He says, as societies become wealthier and more educated, the reliance of a super being and church attendance go down. But they still look for idols. Into that void has stepped technology leaders, because technology is the closest thing we have to magic. Our new Jesus Christ was Steve Jobs. And now Elon Musk has taken on that mantle. And every ridiculously mean, nonsensical, irrational move he makes is somehow seen as a chess move and not checkers. And there's somebody else making commenting on that very same concept, that as a society we worship money. And these leaders become messiahs. If you follow the news, Elizabeth Holmes, one of these leaders, she was just sentenced to prison. There's a scandal in the cryptocurrency world with Sam Bankman-Fried. That's who we're drawn to. So it's not just political or government authorities. It's also people on the secular level that we want to cling to and idolize. But here's the interesting thing that I find that Professor Galloway points out here. He says that societies are wealthier and more educated. There's less need for this super being, God. Less need for church, religion. He's certainly not the only one to make the point, but he makes the point in a sense that once we become more evolved as human beings, we need God and religion in general much less. But the very next thing that he says is that people still look for idols. And then what steps into the void are these idols. If we don't need something anymore because we're more evolved as human beings, why are we still looking for something? Why would we bother looking for anything? There's still that void. There's still that need. And we fill it with things that are often empty promises that lead us to dead ends. In his critique of Elon Musk, it's also this phenomenon how we can be attracted to this mean, bully-like personality that for some reason is applauded by many. It's a sign of strength. It's the kind of king that we envision in the world. But the king we get is nailed to a cross. The king we get does not push people to the margins. He ministered to them. The king we get did not come into the world to be served, but to serve. If Jesus was the king that the world envisioned, he would have come down from the cross. And those that are mocking him in our gospel lesson were inviting him to do just that. But the king that we get dies on the cross. That's one of the reasons why people think the cross is foolish. In our gospel lesson, everyone thinks Jesus is a fool except for one criminal that's crucified next to him. that comes to the point in believing that no authority in this world can save him. The only one that can save him, his only hope for salvation, is the one who's beside him, nailed to the cross. Rulers, nations, governments, technology, our material possessions, none of that can ultimately save us. None of that can ultimately fulfill us. And as a powerful government puts Jesus to death, it doesn't have the last word. That criminal beside Jesus was given a promise. Today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus, our King, has the last word. And his word that is displayed in his faithfulness displays that God's love will ultimately prevail. When our King is mocked in this world, we would expect retaliation. But instead, Jesus, our King, shows mercy. When our King is crucified, we would expect condemnation to be the last word, but instead, Jesus our King shows forgiveness. When our King is betrayed, we would expect him only to worry about himself, to save himself, but Jesus our King died so that the whole world would be saved. In a world that continues to wrestle with nationalism and secularism, we must bear witness to Christ our King, not as one who seeks to have domination over us in the world, but a king that loves the world. As the world is drawn to displays of power that enforce pecking orders and strength, we show the world that the king we follow empties himself of his power for our sake. The king that comes to us invites us to go to others, to empty ourselves, to love and to serve. Earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus reads from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus is a king where those on the bottom of society would be liberated from the systems of injustice. Our crucified King frees us from the sin that holds us captive and calls us not to be concerned with saving ourselves, but giving of ourselves for the well-being of our neighbor, that they may be well, that they would hear the good news of salvation that the kingdom of God offers to us. So we embody a kingdom that our King proclaims. We embody a ministry of mercy, forgiveness, and love. We advocate for those who are captive to the injustice that still exists in a broken world. And our God and King is the one who is crucified for our sake. So we follow him. We pick up the cross. Sharing the love of Jesus ushers into the world a kingdom where the poor receive good news, the oppressed go free, and where even criminals can be assured of paradise. That king does not seek to condemn or damn, but dies on a cross that all might live. Our goal as Christians is not to climb up a ladder. That's why I believe that Christianity, like it has been manipulated to fuse itself to heresies like the prosperity gospel or even nationalism, because it ensures our power and privilege in the world. It is a way where we can kind of save ourselves. But if we follow our King, we're not going to climb a ladder, we're going to go down the ladder. It's a kingdom that's not of this world. And we share glimpses of this kingdom. We get to experience this kingdom now. And we are promised that our King will dwell with us in this kingdom now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. United with your saints across time and place, we pray for our shared world. We pray for your church, emboldened denominations and faith-based organizations in creative and collaborative ministries, and increase our work for the sake of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the earth. Protect waterways from pollution and animal habitats from destruction. Guide us in careful stewardship of waters, plant life, and animals. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the nations of the world. Instill in every leader's heart a desire for justice and peace. Support the work of international collaborations that seek the goals of health and joy for all people. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who are sick, especially Tracy, Maddie, Scott, Marjorie, Pat, and Pat, Debbie, Candace, Regina, Barb, Jerry, Phyllis, Ella, Cheryl, Lucas, and John, Cindy, Carol, and our homebound. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who are undermined or oppressed. Amplify the voices of the unheard and break open stubborn systems of injustice. Bring about your righteousness and fill us all with your redeeming light. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for this assembly. Guide our bishops, pastor, and council members in discernment, and nurture new leaders with fresh ideas. Give this congregation a spirit of discipleship and service. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for all who have died in the faith. Console us who mourn, and comfort us with the beautiful promise of life in your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Accept these prayers, gracious God, and those known only to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
You may be seated. We continue with the offering. Thank you.
God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to your people in every age, the promise to Israel, the rescue from Egypt, the gift of the promised land, the words of the prophets, and at this end of all the ages, the gift of your Son, who proclaimed the good news in word and deed, and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Therefore, O God, with this bread and cup, we remember the life our Lord offered for us, and believing the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast.
Amen.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we who share in Christ's body and blood may live to the praise of your glory and receive our inheritance with all your saints in light.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit.
Join our prayers with those of your servants of every time and every place and unite them with the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest until he comes as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our
trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet. for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward communion assistants and anyone participating in Children's Church. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations with consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that'll be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. O God, our life, our strength, our food, we give you thanks for sustaining us with the body and blood of your Son. By your Holy Spirit, enliven us to be his body in the world, that more and more we will give you praise and serve your earth and its many peoples. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
To the community, Gwen.
In case you've missed it, we are bringing back Sunday school just for the 4 weeks of Advent. So starting next week, we will start with a light breakfast at 8:45, and everyone's welcome to attend. Pastor's going to be leading the adults. We're going to have a youth class also. We've got some fun crafts planned, and just inviting everyone to attend that.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
and serve the Lord.